Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks so much for choosing Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Monday, May 20th. U.S. District Court Judge Richard P. Mache ruled in February that the Bureau of Land Management violated the public's right to know when it concealed the identity of the companies that nominated public lands for gas drilling leases. The Western Environmental Law Center, on behalf of Citizens for a Healthy Community, filed the Freedom of Information request and the lawsuit that resulted in the ruling. The organizations were seeking the names of the corporations that had nominated 30,000 acres of public lands surrounding the North Fork Valley for drilling and fracking. On April 15th, the BLM released the names of those who had nominated the public lands at issue in the lawsuit. However, the agency has not changed its policy of keeping secret the identity of submitters around the country. Now, WELC and CHC, along with 27 other local and national groups, are calling on the BLM to bring its policy into compliance with the court's ruling. In a letter sent Friday to BLM, the organizations labeled BLM's refusal to change its policy, quote, inappropriate, illegal, and inconsistent with the mandates of the Freedom of Information Act, end quote. The Montrose Daily Press reports that Saturday hours at the Montrose Regional Library will be a thing of the past come July 1st. The Regional Library District's board on Thursday reluctantly decided to cut 7.5% from the district's personnel budget, according to Director Paul Palladino. What that will equate to is, here at the Montrose Library, we will close one day a week on Saturday. It is our least busy day, said Palladino. The Denver Post reports that Colorado sheriffs, upset with new state gun restrictions, are trying to invalidate the regulations with a federal lawsuit filed Friday that argues the measures violate the Second Amendment. At issue are two laws passed this spring that are set to take effect July 1st, limiting the size of ammunition magazines to 15 rounds and expanding background checks to private and online firearm sales. The lawsuit involves sheriffs from 54 of the state's 64 counties, including those from Delta, Mesa, and Montrose counties. They said it was their duty to uphold the U.S. Constitution. In contrast to the sheriffs filing suit, the Colorado Association of Chiefs of Police supported the bills, calling them common-sense approaches to protect the public while not taking guns from law-abiding citizens in any way. The sheriffs argue the laws have many flaws that will make it nearly impossible for citizens to comply, and they insist the measures won't improve public safety, but will restrict the rights of law-abiding citizens. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that Bureau of Land Management has given its approval to a travel management plan that clears the way for a newly designed network of multi-use trails in Ridgeway. The plan includes an interconnected trail system and two trailhead parking areas about 2 miles northeast of Ridgeway. The move is the culmination of years of planning and comes after a National Environmental Policy Act study. The routes include 2.4 miles open to vehicles, 18.3 miles open to non-motorized uses, with 16.8 miles of non-motorized single track for hiking, horseback riding, and biking. All of the trails will be closed to all uses from December 1st to April 30th to prevent disturbance to wintering big game like elk. All that now stands in the way of trail building is a 30-day protest period, which ends in June. But assuming no more roadblocks arise from the protest period, officials expect to be building new and connector trails by mid-June. The trails can be accessed from two trail heads, one on State Highway 550 and one on Ouray County Road 10. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Hotchkiss High School junior Jennifer Salise helped the Bulldogs to a third-place finish in the Class 2A State Track and Field Championships last weekend in Lakewood. But the bragging rights in the 2A girls' meet went to Paonia. With the last race of the meet, Paonia won the 1600-meter relay to overtake Akron by 1 point and win the team crown 87-86, with Hotchkiss a close third at 79 points. After winning the 800-meter run in a 2A state record time and running the second leg of the victorious 800 relay team on Friday, Salee's captor meets Saturday with another 2A state record and individual championship. She completed the 400 meters in 56.34 seconds, taking the race by 6-tenths of a second. Paonia also had a strong showing in the 400, with Lindsay Russell and Ashley Van Vliet finishing 5th and 7th, respectively. Salee's anchored the Bulldogs' 1600-meter relay team to a second-place finish, joining Katie Parsons, Sophie Shelley, and Natalie Anderson. But it was Paonia again that stole the show, leading the race from start to finish. Russell took the initiative from the opening leg. Chelsea Reed and Taylor Polson followed suit in the strong style. Then it was up to Van Vliet to bring it home. "I was thinking state record," Van Vliet said of her focus on the final lap, and they accomplished that in 3 minutes 58.16 seconds, finishing 2.5 seconds ahead of Hotchkiss. The Paonia 400 relay team of Marisa Edmondson, Easton Hardigan, Brooklyn Erickson, and Morgan Hardigan came in a close second behind Akron. Morgan Hardigan and Polson took 5th and 7th, respectively, in the girls' 300 hurdles. Hotchkiss placed 3rd in the boys' team race with 56 points, 4 behind Telluride. Lions run away with the team title with 142.5 points. Paonia finished in a tie for 9th. The Bulldogs' Cody Bartlett earned 3rd place in the 1600. Bartlett ended the day by running anchor on the 1600 relay team, which finished 3rd, 2 spots ahead of Paonia. Hotchkiss runner Keegan Palmer, who took 3rd Friday in the triple jump, followed that up Saturday morning with a 7th place finish in the 110-meter hurdles. Kelly Burdorf of Hotchkiss, who anchored Friday's winning girls 800 relay, earned an individual medal by placing 6th in the 100-meter dash. Congratulations to everyone who did well at the 2A state track and meet. Now we have a commentary from Montrose resident Peggy McLaren, who is concerned about the treatment of circus animals.
"And I'm here to ask you to please boycott the animal circus coming to the Western Slope. All one has to do is visit youtube.com and search circus animal abuse to learn and see the horrors these animals must endure when trained, traveling, performing, and wintering in a circus. I've seen an online, undercover video recorded in a training barn of the Carson and Barnes Circus that documented unmistakable abuse. The video shows an elephant trainer instructing new circus workers to sink the hook in deeper, strike them with hard blows to the tender feet and chins, and, quote, make them scream. The video is so disturbing it compelled me to write this commentary to increase awareness and implore listeners not to support the circus. I don't believe circuses are safe for people, either. Just earlier this month, as seen in an online video, a bear in a Shanghai circus, forced to race bicycles with little monkeys, snapped and viciously attacked a monkey right in front of the public, including the children. That bear was close enough to the children that he could have attacked them. There have been many incidences where wild animals in circuses attack and kill handlers or rampage through the crowd and neighborhood. According to PETA, shrine-sponsored circuses have been cited and fined by U.S. Department of Agriculture for failing to provide veterinary care, shelter, exercise, nutritious food, and clean drinking water, and for endangering animals and the public. The Shriners bring in the Shrine Circus each year to the Western Slope. Towns, counties, states, and countries across the planet are banning animal circuses due to the documented abuse of animals that takes place. If circuses do not make a profit, they cannot continue. I know that many people would like to purchase tickets to the circus to support the local Shriners clubs and the children's hospitals. The Shriners bring the circus to town every year to raise money for these organizations. If you appreciate the Shriners' efforts but don't appreciate the circus, please send donations directly to the Children's Hospital or to our local Shriners clubs with a note telling them that animal circuses are abusive to animals, a bad example for our children, and should be a thing of the past. This is Peggy McLaren. Thank you for listening."
For more information about animal abuse and what you can do about it, visit circuses.org. If you have something that you feel passionate about and would like to record a commentary for KVNF, email our program director, Allie Lightfoot, at Allie, that's A-L-I, at kvnf.org with your idea. On I See Change at the almanac.org last week, Rita announced service berry blossoms, Andrea wrote that her old cherry tree might have to be taken down, and Marilyn spotted her first Bullock's Oriole of the season. May 11th was Colorado's Migratory Bird Day, celebrating the nearly 500 species of birds that live in the state or pass through it. KVNF's Marty Derlin talked to local naturalist, birder, and author Evelyn Horn.
Evelyn Horn has spent the past 20 years or so focused on birds. In 1989, she and her husband Al moved from Las Vegas to Eckerd and settled near Hart's Basin, or Fruit Growers Reservoir, as it's also called. It's controlled by the Orchard City Irrigation District. People had just been banned from the reservoir because of E. coli, and the absence of human activity made it more attractive to birds. And to Horn, every bird is an exciting, fragile, and beautiful being.
The ones out here right now, the little guys that look like they're in tuxedos, black back and white front, are western grebe, and they nest here.
They're going to have their babies.
We hope. Yes, we hope. Yeah. They nest in the emergent growth along the far side, along the east shore, and they build floating nests. And the...
Out of what do they use?
Down tulies and stuff like that, cattails. And they anchor it to the adjacent growth. Now, this is a floating nest. So when OCID draws down the water for the irrigation, then the birds are left high and dry. And this happened to us twice last year. And the result was that they were trying to build nests out along the inlet. And, of course, it was a total disaster. There was not one chick last year.
A self-taught naturalist with a master's degree in English, Horn has written three books about birds, and she also writes a column on birds for the Delta County Independent. She's especially keen on the sandhill cranes, and she's followed their migration from the Bosque del Apache in New Mexico to their breeding grounds in Grays Lake, Idaho. She counts the cranes that use Hart's Basin as a staging area every spring.
A little less than 20,000 in the flock, and we had 14,500. We usually get half to two-thirds. So it was a good year. It was reasonable, average.
The cranes come in the middle of the migration. Horn can rattle off the birds in alphabetical and chronological order.
Anybody that's a duck and in our flyway comes by. Right after the mallards come when we have a little open water. And then we have the common mergansers. And then after them, then we have the American widgeon and gadwalls, and they just start to appear. Pintails, ringneck, shufflers, there's some over there in that pond right now. But they're way back in the weeds. That's what I was looking at when you came by. Mm-hmm. And then after all the ducks get here, then the western grebe show up. And we also have Canada geese and cinnamon teal and blue-winged teal. And less commonly, the snow geese and scaup and golden eyes and buffalo heads and ruddy duck and hooded mergansers, which is just fantastic. And each one is beautiful in its own way.
For KVNF News and I See Change at thealmanac.org, I'm Marty Derlin, and I'm watching the birds.
Do you see change in the natural world? Do you have a question or an answer for someone else's question? Let us know by going to icchange@thealmanac.org. And congratulations to I See Change producer Julia Kumari Drapkin for her piece on This American Life about Colorado State climatologist Nolan Deskin's opinion on climate change. And that concludes your local newscast for Monday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.